TH, let's say, pretend that you are the leader, a leader of the biggest and most powerful, the greatest country in the world, an empire as you see it. Then although you're out there all over the world, influencing, dictating even, making order, making everything work the way you think it should work. It feels nice. Everything is going the way it should. And everyone respects you. But then one day, they don't anymore. And maybe that which you thought was respect was rather fear, because you were more and more gradually slipping into exerting your influence by bullying. At least that's what they think, and then they don't want to play with you anymore. But with the other big boys over on the other side, then what do you do? Well, of course, I mean, if we were in school and I saw it happening in my school, in the schoolyard, the big boys competing for the power, sometimes turning into wars. And with the big boys surrounded by their team, guys who, because generally it was guys, where, you know, basking in the light of that big guy with all the benefits that followed. And there you go, and eventually the teachers had to get out there and stop it. So yes, maybe you or your predecessor thought like that, flexing the muscles towards that big guy over there, or those of them. Don't mess with us, or we're gonna show you. Well, when that other big guy does the same back, accepting the challenge, then well, we're gonna show them who's in charge. Well, recently we had, or still have, as this is being spoken, a plain comical example of that. With that leader of the big, great empire, was old and senile, hardly able to walk up the stairs to his airplane. Stood up raising his fist and warning the other guys all over the world. Either you're with me or against me. And against me, you don't want to be. Well, sometimes all senile people, men, become angry old cowboys who kind of lose a bit the connection with reality at hand. So, but if you sit there on the power throne, you can still mess up a bit. But anyway, so here you are. You just took over from that. And you are in the precarious situation, the embarrassing situation, maybe the most embarrassing and precarious situation a leader of a country can be in. Namely, what? Well, your predecessor, it was. There is a chance for you to slip out of it, the embarrassment. But you know, your great empire told the whole world that you were quickly going to defeat the bad. Sauron over there in Mordor, and the story was unfolding beautifully, crafted by your experts. How that victory was being won. Except that it wasn't so. It was just part of the modern hybrid warfare that they were experts at, which used to be called psychological warfare, where you drop leaflets on people. Nowadays, drop things on their screens that the enemy is losing, they're weak, keep on fighting, have courage, because soon we have won. So yes, they had learned that art, and they were in control of media all over the world, so they set out on their mission. But unfortunately, the picture of the situation painted did not conform with reality. And now you stand there. You are the leader of that great empire. And it's obvious to you and to more and more and more people all over the world that no, the other guys are winning this. And even that the reason the war started in the first place. Maybe quite different to what you told in your story. Another story is unfolding of big, huge military industrial complex. Needing wars to make lots of money on. Wars where your own soldiers were not killed, but which were fought by people in other countries against each other. Against the ones that you consider your enemies. Well, in other words, the usual old procedure. Going back to Vietnam War and earlier. And of course, actually rooted in that which is called colonialism. Which should be called, more honestly, the exploitation of the global South. By the global North. With after going on for hundreds of years, was now coming close to an end. Now the question is, as you stand here, the leader, or one of them, the real leaders, the power players, those who decide, those who create the destiny of your country, how are you going to act? Admitting that you made a mistake? Admitting that you lied? Admitting that you lost? Well, the Vietnam War was fought by the greatest, most powerful empire on earth against a tiny little Asian country. And still today, I heard studies, you know, military studies, done in schools, in military schools, of how this tiny little development country could defeat the big empire. And that this technique they used to do that has then been learned and applied by other countries. So well, I mean, if you are in that position where you can blame your predecessor, oh, they did this and that, just look at them, how bad they are, now I will fix it, then take advantage of that. It's a blessing in disguise, maybe, because you can get out of it saving your face. And I mean, pardon me if I sound like some moral romantic, but it's the truth. This is the way it works. That ultimately, honesty prevails. Truth prevails. And sure, it has become so common nowadays that the end justifies the means. You can lie as much as you want. You can kill leaders here and there with your hitmen. You can break all the international laws and rules as long as you get away with it. Because you are the good ones, you are the great ones, you are the leaders of the world, right? You see, this is how tyrannies develop. And they might creep on you subtly. Invisibly at first, but then poof, what happened? But you know, running a nation, a country, which means to be responsible for all those who live in that area, is about that. Protecting your people, not by traveling around on the other side of the world and killing others, or making them kill each other. But you know, to look at it in a different direction than the military one. Food on the table for our citizens. Nice homes for everyone. clothes, jobs. Health insurance, you know, these are the things that a leader should care for, should spend energy and resources on, not making weapons and kill people somewhere, generally. Innocent people who were just told and were forced to go out there. Well, in order to make those guys there in that big military industrial corporation happy. You know, and the bribes or even the threats, you know, what's going on. Presidents being shot left and right over there. When they don't follow some desires of how things should run. So, yeah, I can understand it can't be easy. It takes a heroic person to stand there, risking his or her life. But then, you know, I would say it is, even there is the blessing in disguise, that if you actually do it right, then you will be there with millions of people, your people, who like you, who support you, for real. Who want to protect you. Stand up there behind you for real, not by being thrown some candy or coins. But by honestly and truly feeling that now they are living in a country where they can feel safe, dare to go outdoors, even in the cities at night. Dare to plan for their families into the future because they feel financially stable and that they have what they need. And, I mean, we all know now. That to provide if the total riches, money or whatever you call it in the world, well, if you would just take a bit of the excess that the richest have, the 1%, you know, who are owning half of the world's capital, you could most probably provide every one of us living on this planet with those base necessities that which we actually need and that we can be satisfied with. I live happily with. Once we also learn that happiness doesn't come from consuming those expensive things. It comes from within, when we learn more about ourselves. So yeah, if I would have been you, big leader, I would invest a lot, put a lot of effort in to providing real, good, solid, true, honest, independent education. To your people. Not just to those who have money. In Sweden, university education, all of it is for free. And that's very important. But also, education that teaches and seeks honestly the truth, the reality, the Dharma, as I say in India, how things work, how nature works, how we function, our lives, and what can make us live happily and harmoniously and friendly and peacefully on this planet. There is such knowledge. Rather than just routinely producing workers for offices and factories to just churn this ever growing money-making machine as if that was the whole purpose of existence here. So yeah, there are things we need to take a closer look at, questions, important basic questions. And if you are that big leader, well, if I would have been you, that's the first issue I would care for, to educate myself. Listen to the wise, not just those who sit there and give advice for their for whatever lobby they're working for. But the real questions. What is life for? What is this world? What is, you know, what is the purpose and the functional setup of a successful society of people? Something now is not right. We can all see it. So many unhappy people. So many angry people. So many depressed people. So many selfish and lusty and greedy and envious people. And we just need to look at, you know, old Indian wisdom, for instance, or Chinese, or all over, even Christianity, that those seven vices should be avoided. First of all, and we should act virtuously.
And yes, seeing each other as ultimately a big family of children of Goddess and God. I say that if that can be there as a platform, foundation for your way of leading your country, if that's what's being taught in the schools to the kids, then we're getting somewhere. And we are not experimenting with some new fancy ideas, but we just need to look at history, where civilizations based on exactly that foundation have been flourishing hundreds and thousands of years with very little disturbances. And yeah, I mean, today some may look at pictures from the old thousands of years ago. And well, we find floors made of mosaic, beautiful artistry, walls, fantastic architecture, but beautiful. And at least to me, there's evidence pointing in that direction that people back then, at least in some such great cultures, were quite opulent and cultured, intelligent, and well, we may not find the complexity of technology that we have today, but a simple to the point material technology for taking care of our physical needs. But then a great, great science about life, us, which is still there as old scriptures, but which I would say we just began scraping the surface of. So, well, here we are scraping a little bit. And thank you for listening. Hare Krishna.